Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Fit Chicks Chat. My name is Laura Jackson, and on today's episode, we are talking all about the ketogenic diet as well as the keto lifestyle. So to help us do that, we have an amazing guest interview with a keto expert, the incredible Leanne Vogel. She is the founder of Healthful Pursuit. She's also the host of the Keto Diet podcast, author of the best-selling paperback, The Keto Diet, and the creator of Fat-Fueled Living, a holistic paleo-friendly approach to a ketogenic high-fat diet. In addition to being a super awesome nutritionist who uses the keto diet to help thousands of people, she has also used this lifestyle to change her own health and rebalance her hormones. So we're really excited to have her today. She has a ton of great information to share. I'm really excited to learn as well about this lifestyle and this high-fat way of living. So with that, let's let Leanne take it away.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
So hello, everybody, and I know you just heard this amazing intro to our guest today, who I'm so pumped about. Welcome, Leanne.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I've been following your journey for a long time, and I just love your YouTube channel, and I love your podcast, and so I'm really excited that you're going to join us today and talk about what you do in the world of nutrition.
I'm so honored that you listen to my stuff.
Well, it's damn good, girl. So I guess we'll start off with just if you'd like to tell us a little bit about like your story, how you got into nutrition, and kind of that transition as to where you are now, really focusing more on the keto lifestyle and to where you started from.
Yeah, you bet, Laura. So I studied nutrition about 10 years ago from a place called CSNN. And when I started studying holistic nutrition, it was really just to educate myself about my body and food. And when I graduated, I was like, shoot, I know too much not to share it with my people and the people. And so I started working one-on-one with people. I didn't really like that so much because I felt like I wasn't having a big enough impact, and working one-on-one with individuals was frustrating to me because I felt like I knew some stuff that I wanted to share on a bigger scale. And that's really where my blog Healthful Pursuit came in, was just wanting to share more information with maybe some people out there. And I'll never forget when I hit like 10 people that had visited the site in a day, I was like, oh my gosh, that's more clients than I could see in a day. And that was a switch for me in my profession of like, okay, I'm going to dedicate my life to more of this online stuff. Because at the time, I mean, we're talking, what was that, 7-8 years ago, when blogs weren't like, they were biggish, but not what they were today. And so I thought, you know, there's not a lot of people talking about what I'm talking about. I'm just going to start this. And at the time I was a vegan. And so I had a vegan blog and I was sharing all the vegan things, and I started having a lot of problems with my hormones. I had gone off birth control when I was studying nutrition and never got my period back. I was training a lot. My muscles weren't recovering properly. I wasn't building muscle like I should have with the amount of training that I was doing. And so years passed of me not getting a period and going to some doctors and them saying, well, do you want to have kids? And I'm like, no, never. And they're like, well, then who cares? Why do you need your period?
Which is crazy for them to say that. But
absolutely insane. But when I speak to women that experience amenorrhea, which is a lack of period, most doctors will say that to them. Like, well, do you want babies right now? No, then why? What's the big deal? But period is such an important piece to your health. If you're a woman and you don't have a regular menstrual cycle, there's probably something that needs adjusting. It's not to say that you're broken or anything. It can be something, such a small adjustment. And by doing that, you get your menstruation back and things fall in line. And that's really how I ended up finding the ketogenic diet. So here I was, you know, plant-based vegan chick, dabbling in like a little bit of meat in here and there because I married a German and he loved
sausage.
Yeah, all the time. So I went to a naturopath. She recommended a low-carb diet. I said, no, that's crazy. She said, look into it. I did. And that's how I found the ketogenic diet. And basically the ketogenic diet is a low carb, high fat diet, where we're switching from being a sugar burner, where we're eating all these carbohydrates and we're constantly needing to eat carbs in order to fuel our stores because we can't hold a bunch of carbs. We're usually hungry most of the time. You know, you wake up, you're hungry. You're driving to work, you're hungry. So you're always snacking. You always need snacks with you. You couldn't dream of going on a flight without snacks. Whereas in a fat-adapted state, and what we do in a state of ketosis is that we are burning fat on our bodies as well as the fat that we're eating. So we can go long periods of time without needing to have food. And because our body is adapted to burning fat, it's not in a starvation mode. A lot of people, you know, who are carbohydrate fueled will go a day without food and be like, oh my gosh, I could never fast. That would kill me. Well, the reason is because your body's not searching for fat. It's searching for carbs. But in a fat adapted state, or when we are in ketosis, our body's burning our body fat like nobody's business. And we're just like, yeah, I'm not really fasting right now. I'm just eating the body fat on the body. So that's how I found the ketogenic diet. And after eating that way for about a year and a half, after much lesson learned on the standard protocol and what I needed to adjust, I ended up getting my period back. And it's been now a year and a half of crushing ovulation and menstruation and all the Asians, and feeling like a real woman again, because I started feeling like my chest was really flat. I didn't have any curves. I didn't feel like a woman, you know? And so now I got the curves and I got boobs, and it's kind of great.
Well, and that's where, I mean, there's, out of everything you said, now I've got like 8 gazillion questions for you to flush it out more. Cause there's so many great topics that you just kind of, that you mentioned, explain your story. So even just going back for a second though, and I know you were saying ketogenic diet is low carb, high fat, moderate protein. Mm-hmm. So maybe just even kind of in your opinion, what is like the average diet like then that most people are eating right now?
Moderate to low protein, high carb, low fat. That's what I would say most people, like standard American diet, that's what it is. If you are, maybe you study nutrition or you know some stuff about nutrition and you're trying to be good to your body, it's probably moderate to high carbohydrate, pretty good protein, like moderate protein, moderate fat. You know, if I think of like the paleo eating style or whole foods, or even if you're vegan, that's where I'd kind of put the diet. And so with keto, it's high fat, low carb, moderate protein. So you're kind of like, think of a standard American diet and think about like all of the carbs that they eat. You're basically switching that with fat and healthy fat. Like that's kind of how I imagine it.
And when we do that switch, I know you were talking about, you know, you go into something called ketosis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for somebody who doesn't understand any of this, who's kind of like, okay, wait a second here. I don't even know. I thought my body just like, if I want to lose weight, I burn fat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we do have two different energy sources in our body, which is obviously carbohydrates and fat. So when you're talking about, you know, going to ketosis, like what is that and how does that actually work within the body?
Yeah, you bet. So in order to understand kind of how ketosis works, it's worth mentioning with the fuel sources. So if you were to drink alcohol right now, your body would burn the alcohol before it went back to carbohydrates. And when it has carbohydrates and not alcohol, it will burn the carbs. And when there's no carbs around, or when we need to burn fat, we'll burn fat. And the last one is protein. We don't want to be burning protein because that's like muscles and stuff, and our body doesn't want to do that. So it kind of prioritizes. So in order to get to fat burning, so if you kind of see like alcohol being the first choice, then carbs, then fat, then protein, you kind of understand that when we lower our alcohol consumption, we're burning more carbs. When we lower our carb consumption, we're burning more fat. If we remove all of that consumption and we're not eating enough, then we're probably going to burn through our protein. And that protein piece is like starvation station. We don't want to be there. So to answer your question, a ketogenic state is a low carb, high fat. We get there rather by eating low carb, high fat, because we're lowering the carbohydrate intake to the point where our body has no choice to be like, oh shoot, well, there's no more carbs left, which is stored in the body as glycogen. So we're going to have to go to that next fuel source, which is fat. And when we eat carbohydrates. When we have a lot of carbohydrates, there's a thing that's created called glycerol, and that glycerol ports fat into cells. And so when we're eating all these carbohydrates, we're porting fat into cells. And while we're eating all those carbohydrates, we're also boosting our insulin so high that fat can't be taken out of cells. So here we are, like, pushing all the fat into cells and not allowing ourselves to burn it. So in a state of ketosis, where we're eating that low carb, high fat eating style, we're lowering our insulin so the fat can be burnt. And because our carbohydrates are lower, the glycerol isn't created as much anymore, and the fat isn't stored in the cells anymore, and it can actually be burnt for energy. So if you think of, you know, efficiency, and we get back to talking about snacking all the time, you have over at least 50,000 calories on your body right now to burn as fat.
And that's insane.
I know. It's nuts. And with carbohydrates, you have maybe about 1,600 calories that you can store in your liver or your muscles. So if you eat more than that and your glycogen stores are all filled up, they're going to turn into triglycerides. So that's why the main thing on a ketogenic diet, and something that I noticed quite quickly, is that my triglycerides went down quite substantially because I wasn't storing all those carbohydrates in my body as triglycerides. So if you chat with any doctors that are up with the recent science on cholesterol and what to look for in heart disease, it's your triglycerides over your HDL. So triglycerides, we just said, that's how carbohydrates are stored in the body. When there's too much of them, we can only store 1,600 calories, usually at any given point, over HDL. And that's your quote unquote good cholesterol. Cholesterol is a whole other topic, but basically HDL in conjunction with lower carbohydrate intake to lower that triglyceride, the HDL will increase with saturated fat intake. So if anyone's concerned about heart health, definitely chat with your doctor about it, or your healthcare practitioner, whomever you trust. But for me, I've seen massive improvements in my triglycerides and HDL since starting.
And that's one of the things I always talk a lot about to my clients too, is about, you know, how I think the biggest travesty in the nutrition world, and pretty much like causing our health epidemic, was when everyone went low fat. And I think that was in the 90s, when it was like, you know, I don't know if you remember Susan Powder, Fat Makes You Fat. And it was like, Suddenly everything became low fat, high carb. And While people thought, you know, it made sense to, if you want to lose weight, you're going to cut out the fat. Well, really what they were doing was the exact opposite. And that's why I'm very fascinated by the ketogenic diet, because I personally have seen a lot of really great results with it as well. And especially from like a hormonal balance. But the one thing that people ask me a lot too is, and I'm hoping you can clarify this as well, is they ask me a lot if being in a ketogenic state, or sorry, a ketosis state, is dangerous. And I think it's because they're confusing that with ketoacidosis. So I would love for you to kind of explain those two, just to clarify for anybody, what's the difference?
Yeah, you bet. So ketoacidosis, super dangerous state, not something I ever want to experience. So basically, ketoacidosis is when your ketones are really high, like 20, 30 millimoles per liter, and also your blood sugar, blood glucose, is really high. So this means that both your ketones and your blood glucose are having a party. It's very acidic. You can go into a coma. If it's not treated, you can die quite quickly. And this is seen with anyone with diabetes or any physiological condition where your pancreas isn't functioning. So if you have a working pancreas, then chances are there's no actual way for you to get into ketoacidosis. It can also happen if you drink a whole heck of a lot for a very, very long time. You can get into ketoacidosis. But the regular human with a working pancreas, with insulin functioning, even if you have insulin resistance, your body will create insulin. When blood sugar's out, it'll pour it into the cells, and you're good to go. So that is different than what we're doing. It's very similar to like dietary fat doesn't equal fat on your body, or cholesterol in your diet doesn't equal cholesterol in your body. Same with ketoacidosis. It has the same sound as nutritional ketosis, but it's very different. So in nutritional ketosis, we are maybe hitting 3 millimoles per liter of ketones. Remember when I said like ketoacidosis is like 20 to 30 millimoles millimoles per liter of ketones, we're hitting like 3 millimoles per liter. And this is measured by your blood. And if you've been eating ketogenic for a while, you'll probably hit anywhere between 2 and 3 millimoles per liter. But when this happens, glucose is massively reduced because we don't have any, we're not eating any glucose. But when we do eat glucose, let's say you're eating ketogenic, I don't know, for a year, and then you decide, this would probably never happen, but you decide to eat a dozen cupcakes sweetened with white sugar.
It's happened to me, Leanne. Don't judge. Okay. I'm like, I've been there, girl. I've been there.
I'm thinking like the most sugar you could possibly eat. So you like chow down on 12 cupcakes back to back. As soon as that sugar goes out, ketones totally wiped out. They're gone. They're just annihilated. They're done. And sugar spikes up, and then your insulin goes to the rescue, pushes it into cells, so you never really get to that state. So ketoacidosis, dangerous state, nutritional ketosis, completely different. So it's basically impossible for you to get into ketoacidosis unless you are a diabetic, you don't have a pancreas, or you are an alcoholic, and then perhaps you should chat with your healthcare practitioner about any of this stuff before you decide to go into ketosis.
So then how would you know if you're in ketosis? So you're eating, you're eating low carb, higher fat, moderate protein, and like you've been doing this for a couple of days. Am I in ketosis now, or like, does it take longer? How does that...
So for my husband, he's such a jerk. He got into ketosis in like 7 days and he's like, I feel a little bit dizzy. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, oh, I feel okay now. And sure enough, he was in ketosis. But for some people, it can take a couple of days. Other people, it can take a couple of weeks. The most I've seen somebody, and this is like drastic, was 6 weeks until she started to feel better on her ketogenic diet. Because you got to think, like, if you've been eating carbohydrates and fueling with these same 1600 calories every day, trying to refill it and building triglycerides and always being hungry, to then take out that fuel source, your body gets a little bit confused with what's going on. And it's going to take a little while for it to be like, oh, right, there's fat to burn. Because when you were born, you were in a ketogenic state almost all the time. In fact, when women are pregnant, they get into a ketogenic state almost every evening in the third trimester because their bodies are needing so much energy to create this life form that they get into ketosis, and the ketones feed the baby, and the babies are generally in a state of ketosis rather. And so when we are shifting over to this state, it can be quite beneficial. And I totally forget your question because I went off on a tangent.
No, I'm like still, I'm actually very surprised, like, and interested in the fact that in your third trimester that you actually are in ketosis. Like, I've never heard that before.
It's
That's crazy.
It's a real thing. Yeah. And the baby's brain actually requires ketones to grow in that last trimester. It's super important that they have that.
So in that really, I mean, what you're saying, like, it basically is turning back to when you were mentioning like a sugar burner versus a fat burner, because most people were sugar burners. And I think for anyone listening who this might be like a little, like it's new to them or it's a little bit too sciencey heavy. It's almost like, you know, we either burn sugar, which is glucose coming from carbohydrates, because all carbohydrates break down into glucose. So we burn that. And if that's not there, like you were saying, then we tap into our fat stores, and that's where the ketones are produced for the energy. So when that happens, it's like you start to feel a bit sick, right? Because even from my personal experience, my first experience going into ketosis was actually during like the low carb craze. So it wasn't during like keto. It was during like the Atkins. I don't even know when that was, probably like early 2000s. I've done every diet under the sun. Like, I've done high fat, low carb, high carb, everything. I know now what works for my body, and it is a lower carb diet with higher fat. But I know when I first went in, I had to pee on these little strips. And is that how you test in the ketogenic diet too? Like, you would pee on the strips, and if the strips turn color, you could tell if there's ketones in your pee?
Yeah. So there's a couple of ways to tell if you want to test. There's a couple of ways to tell that you're in ketosis. And now I remember your question.
Good. Cause I don't.
Right. Hey guys, ketosis is supposed to make your brain better, but I've been in the interview today. I'm like, was that what? So there are a couple of ways to test your ketones. If you want to do like testing, Yes, you can pee on a little strip. The problem with that, well, the benefit to that is that it's cheap. But the problem is once your body gets accustomed to actually using those ketones, which is how, you know, you break down fat, you generate these ketones, that's what's used as energy. When your body starts using those ketones, you're not going to dump the ketones into your urine because your body's going to be like, I know what to do with all of these. The second way to test is with your blood. So you prick your finger, or I like to do the meaty part of my palm on the exterior part of my palm. You prick that, you test it. The problem with this is that it's quite expensive. It can cost for a couple, I think it's like over $600 if you were to test every day for the two.
Oh, wow.
It's just insane. But the benefit is that it's really accurate. Like if you need to know, say for therapeutic uses, you need to hit a certain number, awesome for that. The next option, which is my favorite just as a cost and also accuracy piece, it's kind of in the middle. It's not as expensive, but it's not as accurate, but it's, you know, kind of the middle ground, is to test your breath. So these are monitors that you blow into. It tells you how many ketones you have, usually by flashing a color or telling you a number or vice versa or together. My favorite system is called Level. It's a Level ketone monitoring system. It was made to monitor your fat burning capacity, but it tests the same thing that you would test for ketosis if you were eating a ketogenic diet. There's also a thing called a ketogenics, I want to say, where you blow into it and then it tests it and you're good. But if you don't want to spend the money and you don't really totally care on the numbers, some signs to know that you're in a ketogenic state are that you can go long periods of time without food. You're no longer hangry when it comes to eating. Like you kind of think, yeah, I'm hungry. Like right now, I mean, it's 1 o'clock local. I haven't eaten all day. I'm like, I could eat, but I'm not, give me food right now or I'll punch you in the throat, which is how I used to be. Like it was a real problem. You don't need snacks. And if you do, you crave more fatty foods. I'll never forget the day that I went on a really long hike and all I wanted was ground beef with coconut oil melted in.
Oh, like, delicious.
Just fatty soup. Like, just give me some fatty broth soup thing. And so you crave fats more than you crave carbohydrates. So those are kind of some signs that you could go after, and that can take upwards of like 6 weeks, but usually you start noticing that in like 2 weeks once you get over the hump of switching over to fat burning state, and then give it a couple more days. And the key thing is, if you decide to give this a try, don't make the mistake that I did and force yourself to fast at the same time as not eating enough, at the same time as not doing electrolytes. So these are like some key things. Like if you switch and you're eating low carb, high fat, just make sure you're putting salt on your food and maybe having more avocados and spinach than you're used to. Those are some key things that I would definitely recommend doing.
Well, and when you're in, like, so I know being in ketosis, you burn fat very quickly. Like, and a lot of people, if they're in ketosis, they lose weight really quickly. Mm-hmm. But do you have to be in ketosis to be burning fat? Or if you are, you know, just eating a ketogenic diet, and maybe you are going a little bit higher in like natural sources of carbs, mm-hmm. like maybe you're eating a little bit more, you know, veggies than you would normally, be able to burn fat, or would that, you know, you have to be in the state of ketosis?
Well, if that were the case, if everyone had to be in ketosis in order to burn fat, nobody on like those weight loss shows and like any of those things would lose weight. So it's possible to lose weight and not be in a state of ketosis. It's just way easier. Like, I mean, in the first 2 months, I lost 20 pounds and 12% body fat, like a snap of a finger. It was just like, oh, gone. Like, it was crazy. There was no effort.
You're like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah. But then it can turn on like, oh, how much weight can I lose? And that's where things got quite disordered for me. Whereas with my husband, you know, he started eating keto around the time that he read my book. and I was like, wow, okay, I get it. And he started eating that way. And again, his weight just kind of fell off and now he just eats what he wants and it's all keto and he's good and he loves it. You don't have to be in a ketogenic state. Where the ketogenic state is really beneficial is not just for weight loss, but also, even though it doesn't seem like it today, your mind function is so much better. I used to have ADHD. I took medications up until the time that I went keto for it. And now I don't have to take my medications anymore. I mean, I still have my off days, usually when I have too many carbohydrates or not enough fat or not enough food or combination or not enough sleep. But oh my gosh, I couldn't even have a conversation like this a couple of years ago. It was just so hard for me to articulate and put together things in a proper structure. So it was horrible. And I mean, I still have my moments, but it becomes more of a therapeutic approach. You know, I tried all the other diets, like you were saying, Laura. I'm just like, I've done it all. And for me, it was that I couldn't get my period back no matter how hard I tried. And with keto and that abundance of fat, it really sets the stage for healing. I mean, there's so many disorders out there that are harmed by an increase in carbohydrates, like PCOS and diabetes and basically every neurological condition and cancer and all these things that thrive on a higher fat, lower carb diet. So if you're finding that you can't even lose weight on, you know, these certain diets that you're trying, maybe look at the carbohydrates. It's not to say that carbs are bad. There's definitely a place for carbohydrates. It just might mean that you have to lower your amount of carbohydrates to get in so much more than just the fat burning.
Well, and that's where I've seen the ketogenic so much too within my clients and my community is definitely for helping with hormonal balance for sure. Mm-hmm. Like women who have PCOS and turned to a ketogenic diet and really saw amazing results from it, or like estrogen dominance. And then weight loss was like almost like a bonus side effect. You know what I mean? Like, because it's just, we are living in such a carb heavy society, and most of us, we don't even know that just by even making those small dietary shifts, like how much you can change your overall health.
Yes.
And sometimes that's not even having to go as, you know, because I do think it's like finding that balance too that works for you. And a lot of people, you know, they would feel like eating a strict way for the rest of their life doesn't necessarily work. They want that, you know, flexibility. Mm. And, but it's even just trying, you know what I mean? Shifting into more of that focus. Like I just find that the results are so good. So with that being said then, like what, if somebody is eating, then they're going the ketogenic diet, like what actual types of food should they eat? Because I know when we're saying fat, like for somebody who's listening, does that mean just like they should be eating like bowls full of butter? Or is it like, are there certain fats that are bad?
Yeah. I mean, the fats that are bad are going to be anything that's more of a processed oil. I'm just going to name off some walnut oil, canola oil, the refined canola oil specifically, any polyunsaturated fat that's super unstable, especially if you're coming from a place of inflammation, I would actually avoid flaxseed oil and hemp seed oil unless you know a very good source of it that you know for sure was processed, like cold processed. A lot of people say that it's cold, but it's not, and it's can cause a lot of inflammation. So if inflammation is an issue for you, so any autoimmune condition, allergies, arthritis, anything that stems from inflammation, I would definitely watch for that. And then you have things like rice bran oil, wheat germ oil, grapeseed oil, cottonseed oil, margarine, vegan spreads, like all of these things can cause more inflammation, especially on a ketogenic diet where you're eating so much fat. You really want to make sure that the oils that you're cooking with are safe. So on the flip side, some of the oils that you could go for are things like avocado oil or ghee, red palm oil, if you can get it rainforest certified, because red palm oil, some manufacturers don't really care about their orangutans and they kill them in order to get to the red palm oil. So yucky. Duck fat, cacao butter, which is the fat from chocolate, coconut oil, butter, if you can handle it, grass-fed butter, duck fat, olive oil. Am I missing one? Almond oil, MCT oil. So those are some of the oils. And then for whole food fats, like nuts, seeds, avocados, olives, think like whole food sources of fat. Any animal protein that's grass-fed is awesome. If you can't afford or don't want to or can't get access to grass-fed sources of animal protein, no big deal. Just get whatever you can at the grocery store. Go for the low-fat options and add your own oils, because you can control what kind of oils they are. Because in animals, the fat of animals is where a lot of the toxicity is held. So if you have, you know, a little cow that's in these places that's just horrible and they never get to see the light of day, and they're being treated with hormones and all those emotions and toxicity and everything are are being held in the fat. So when you eat high fat sources of that meat, it's going to be totally different than a frolicking cow through the grass fields having the time of his life and soaking up the sun. And that's going to be a different fat source. So if you don't have access to grass fed, totally fine. Just add your own fat. So that kind of covers the fat piece. And then carbohydrates, I eat a ton of grains, basically every low carb vegetable like celery, cucumber, asparagus, kale, everything. I really love green onions right now. Can't get enough of them.
Delicious.
Right? And yeah, we kind of chatted about protein sources already. So it's just, think of it, if you're familiar with paleo, think of it like not eating sweet potatoes and maple syrup on a paleo diet. Like, you know, all those carbohydrates, you're just basically switching out all the paleo treats for like fat bombs, which are basically paleo treats without the sweetener, and all the carbs that come along with it, and just eating a lot more fat. So that's kind of been my approach and where I found the best, because I tried the standard keto thing where I was caring so much about the macros and so much about the calories that I started losing my hair and my hands were all tingly. I wasn't eating enough. I wasn't getting enough electrolytes. And that's where the fat fueled protocol kind of came in to be like, okay, that didn't work. So why don't we infuse keto with some whole foods? And that's how I got my period back and where we are today.
So for you, like when you eat do you have any go-to meals that you kind of stick to for like breakfast, lunch, dinner, like every day, or do you vary it up? What would one look like?
So breakfast is most often a decaf coffee blended with some sort of oil. Usually it's like cacao butter oil or MCT oil or coconut oil. I'm digging MCT oil powder right now because you don't have to blend it. And then
I've never heard of this.
Oh, it's the best.
I'm like adding that to my list right now MCT of must buys.
Oil powder. It's from Perfect Keto. That's the one that I use. And it's really great for traveling because you can add fat to liquids without having to carry a liquid with you that gets everywhere. And
exactly. That's what I was just thinking.
It's made just like protein powder. So it's just dehydrated oil. It's the coolest stuff. So I'll put that in my coffee, usually with some collagen or some sort of protein powder. And usually nut butter or seed butter, whatever I have lying around. So just some fat. I usually keep it to like 300 calories usually. Now I'm not a big calorie person, but I say that because a lot of people make fatty coffees that are like, I saw somebody put, I think it was 8 tablespoons of fat in the coffee.
Oh my gosh.
No, I think you've maybe taken that too far. Maybe.
Yeah.
So that's usually breakfast. And if I'm hungrier, I'll just have some sort of greens with protein. And really, if you follow me on Instagram, Healthful Pursuit, you'll see when I share my food, it's basically the same thing over and over. It's some sort of vegetable with some sort of protein drizzled with all sorts of fats. And that's kind of my go-to, whether it be a salad or something in a pan. I'm currently cooking a beef roast in my pressure cooker for some shredded beef that we'll have for lunch. And it'll probably be with broccoli or something that I'll drizzle with bacon grease because I'm obsessed with it. So.
Okay. Well then staying on that, cause that just sounds delicious. And I love my pressure cooker as well. What would be then if like your top 5 go-to keto approved foods that you always have in your cupboard?
Keto approved foods that I always have in my cupboard. Okay. Collagen always. I can't live without that stuff. I just can't. Lakanto monk fruit sweetened chocolate. Also a total win, or any sort of, I love chocolate. So any sort of unsweetened chocolate must. Another pantry item, some sort of cold cooking oil, like say avocado oil for dressings or olive oil for dressings, just some sort of oil to add to cold things, as well as some sort of oil to add to hot things. So lard or tallow or coconut oil. And then I would have to say sesame seeds. I add sesame seeds to a lot of things, like any herb pâtés that I'm making or sauces that need to be thickened. I just add some sesame seeds and blend it. They're kind of like my go-to thing.
I know when I saw you last speaking at an event, you mentioned there was it a sunflower seed flour or a sunflower?
Oh yeah. Good D's. They make sunflower seed flour. Oh, that's interesting to say. Sunflower seed flour, treats. So They're low carb keto brownies and cookies that don't have any sweetener, and they're made with sunflower seed flour, like ground up sunflower seeds, which is so great because I'm pretty sensitive to nuts.
Yeah.
So I just like having an option. So sometimes I'll make their brownies and just have them for breakfast even, because there's like all the fats. I think the recipe calls for like a cup of coconut oil. So it's basically fat that tastes like chocolate. Yeah. So I'll have that sometimes with my fatty coffee, but yeah, those mixes are delicious.
And those are awesome go-to foods. I for sure also love collagen. Like I use the two different versions. The brand I use is Great Lakes. I don't know what you use.
Yeah, I use, well, right now I'm a big fan of the Perfect Keto Collagen just because they make keto collagen that mixes the MCT oil powder with the collagen. So it's like two birds with one stone. I don't need to think about it. I just add it to my coffee.
Wait. Yeah. Well, when I first started using collagen, I bought the, well, for Great Lakes, there's the green one and the red one. I bought the red one, not knowing it was the one that, you know, turns everything into Jello Jigglers. So like my coffee, yeah, I'd like leave it. I'd come back. I'd be like, well, this looks disgusting. So yeah. Anyone listening, if you're going to do Great Lakes, make sure you buy the green one because it dissolves in coffee. not the red one.
Don't use the gelatin, go for the collagen. And it's really confusing when companies call it like collagen gelatin. Then you're like, what do I do?
I know. I'm like, I can't go through that again. Like the funky chunky. It's like when you first get into drinking smoothies. And I remember when I didn't have a Vitamix and I was like making everything in my Black & Decker blender. And I was like, oh, this is delicious. And it was like chunks of kale going down. I'm like, no wonder people think this is disgusting.
That sounds horrible.
So yeah, so just starting to wrap it up then, just for anyone who is thinking, okay, I want to check out this ketogenic lifestyle. I'm thinking about it. Like, what are your top three tips or any resources that you would recommend? Obviously, your amazing blog and your amazing book, if you want to talk to those a little bit, but just to help them get started where it's not so overwhelming. Because I think it still sounds like, even the word ketogenic, it sounds very scientific, but it's actually a very simple lifestyle to follow. So what would you recommend?
If you are first starting out, Keto Clarity by Jimmy Moore is an awesome book if you need convincing of like eating keto. That's the first keto book that I ever read, and he completely changed my mind about everything. And he has a bunch of different healthcare practitioners and doctors in the book that share their brilliance. It was a really good book, really easy read. Highly recommend that. Be wary of stuff you find on the internet always. Just like with any eating style, I know when I was vegan, some of the people that I listened to for vegan advice is like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? So just be mindful. Any resource that you take in, if it doesn't feel right to you, or they have a no, you know, my way or the highway approach, and they're saying you're dumb if you do this, or you're stupid, or calling people names for doing things quote unquote wrong. Just you don't have time for that. And also, if you're interested in keto, stress creates this system where you actually can't generate ketones. So by stressing yourself out about doing the keto diet right, you're actually screwing it up by stressing too much about it. So just let it go. So I definitely recommend Keto Clarity. There's a YouTube channel that shares keto recipes. I think they're called Keto Connect. I watched a couple of them. I haven't really seen whether or not they have valuable content, but some of their recipes are pretty cool. And just really go on Pinterest, search for keto recipes, and you'll find a whole bunch and kind of get yourself accustomed. I have a bunch of resources. I have a YouTube channel, a podcast. I'll never tell you that you're stupid or dumb.
And this is one of the reasons why we wanted you on, because you make it so approachable and easy and just in a way that's like, okay, whoa, I'm curious about this. Like, I want to learn more and not feel like this is a world that's, I wouldn't be included in, or that's like too much for me. You know what I mean? Like your approach is always so inclusive. Even, you know, when you were doing Healthful Pursuit focused on veganism, it was also very inclusive. And I love that. So
because they're all just words. Like vegan is just a word. Keto is just a word. You make it what it is. Like it's
completely
it never made sense to me. So if you're looking for more of a holistic approach, probably if you're first getting started, my program, The Keto Beginning, which is offered on my site, healthfulpursuit.com/shop. You can check that out. And I have a podcast, The Keto Diet Podcast, and a YouTube channel, Healthful Pursuit. So just Google Leanne Vogel. You'll find me. I'm out there.
And I highly recommend everyone do, because you're, and I love your YouTube channel. How often do you post on that? Is it weekly? Is it biweekly?
It's kind of random. It depends on what we're doing. We always post on the blog on Wednesdays. And if it happens to be a video, we post on YouTube. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. But all of the podcasts are also on YouTube. So it usually ends up being that the videos are biweekly, but we're going to be switching over to monthly because we just have so many resources and I'm working on something fun for next year. So,
ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
Teaser. Okay. Well, we're going to wrap this up. So I would love for you to end it by giving us one piece of life advice. It could be about keto. It could be about your craft, your journey, but just something, a piece of advice that could help women live fiercer, happier, healthier. What would that piece of advice be?
Stop listening outside and start listening inside.
Oh, I love it.
A huge thing. Like, what does your body actually want? What do you want out of life? And I think when you start to ask yourself, especially with nutrition, there was a lady that just joined our team recently, and she started following Healthful Pursuit. And I was asking all these difficult questions, like, what do you want? What does your body want? What nutrition do you want? And that really goes into the rest of your life. So when you start asking your body what it wants and honoring what you want and not listening to all the garbage outside, you realize that maybe you don't totally love your job, or maybe you're surrounding yourself with people that don't make you feel good. So it's really this catalyst to be able to create the life you've always wanted to live by just focusing on what you actually want. So yeah, education is important, totally. But there's also a thing where you just have too much noise going on outside. So just listen to what your body wants and do that, because it's probably right.
I love that. That's very, very good advice. And I feel exactly the same. So thank you so much, Leanne, for joining us today. For anyone who's looking for more information on Leanne, we have it all posted on our blog. You can get more at healthfulpursuit.com. Also, you also have an awesome new book out called The Keto Diet Book. Uh-huh. And they can get that pretty much at any store, Amazon. I have it. It's amazing.
Checkers, anywhere, Barnes & Noble, just go to a bookstore, ask for the Vogel book and they should have it.
Oh, perfect. And yeah, and we'll, of course, like I said, we'll be posting everything online so you can get in contact with Leanne. And I hope everyone has a fabulous day. Thanks, Leanne.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.